Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
All right, so those are the two principles for overcoming anxiety. One, passionate prayer. Number two, pray with gratitude. One more. And this one is the phrase that we skipped over in verse 5. The Lord is near. What he's saying here is, the Lord is near, so don't be anxious about anything. It's a comfort. It's a comfort. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't get all spun up, stressed out, worked up. Why? Because the Lord is right here with you. He's right here. He's near. If you look up this phrase, the Lord is near, there's only two other places in the Bible these same words are used. One of them is Psalm 145:18, which says, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. That's comfort, right? And Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, the crushed in spirit is near to all. Look at what he goes on to say in the rest of this section about anxiety. He says, verse 5, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Then verse 7, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. That's promising comfort through His nearness. And then verse 9, the God of peace will be where? With you. So the Lord is near. His peace will guard your heart. The God of peace will be with you. I think that's the thrust of this whole paragraph here. He'll be near you. His peace will be near you. Don't be anxious. Don't be upset. He's right here. So Paul introduces this section on anxiety with the phrase, the Lord is near, because the most fundamental thing you need to understand in battling anxiety is the fact that God is near you. He's right there. That's what will enable you to genuinely, emotionally be glad when you're praying, even before you know what the answer to your prayer is going to be, what God's going to do, because your dad is there. I had this picture in my mind this week of a kid caught by a bully who is beating him up. He's on his way home from school. His bully catches up to him. He's beating the tar out of him. And kid is absolutely helpless. Nothing he can do. Suddenly he sees his dad's car drive by. And he yells top of his lungs, Dad! But he thinks, oh, there's no way my dad's going to hear me in the car. There's no way. He's just going to drive it. All of a sudden he sees the brake lights go on. And as the car door opens, dad comes flying out of the car. Now this kid is so happy. He's so relieved. He's so glad to see that. Why is he happy? His dad hasn't even actually done anything yet. He hasn't provided any help yet. The kid's already glad. Why is the kid already glad? Because he knows his dad. His dad's there now. He knows his dad's love for him. He knows his dad's protection. He knows his dad's wisdom. He knows his dad's strength. His dad is way stronger than this bully, and he really loves his son a lot. That's all this kid needs to know. His dad is there now. I'm going to be fine. Dad is here. So, how is his dad going to handle this situation exactly? What's the best thing to do in this case? Call the police? Talk to the bully's parents? Slap the bully around a little bit. I mean, you ask a 7-year-old kid, what's your dad going to do? What's the best approach for a long-term solution to this bullying problem? And the kid is like, I have no idea. I don't know what dad's going to do for sure. I don't know what the best solution is. That's why I'm so glad dad is here. He's way stronger than that bully. He's smart. He'll know what to do. He'll know how to handle it. I don't know what to do. I'm just really, really glad dad is here. If your prayers treat God as a servant, as a bellhop, you're not going to be able to be thankful until you find out what kind of service He provides. But if you pray to God not as your bellhop, but as your father, and you're a kid in trouble calling out to your dad, and all of a sudden you see the brake lights go on, as soon as you know your dad is there and these brake lights go on, he's coming out the car door, and he's hearing your cries, that's all you need. Now you're fine. Now you're fine. You're thankful already, even though you have no idea how he's going to respond, how he's going to handle the situation, because you know he's really strong, really smart, and really loves you a lot. The most basic principle for overcoming anxiety in your life is to learn to rest in the presence of a father who loves you, who hates bullies, and who really gets upset, really, really gets upset when somebody hurts one of his children, and who's really, really smart and super strong and way stronger than the other kid's dad and way stronger than all your problems put together, and he's promised to always be with you. John 14:18, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Again, in the context of their anxiety. Matthew 28:20, surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Next time you find yourself all spun up about a problem and there's no peace in your heart, just imagine God speaking to you out loud saying, why are you acting like I'm not even here? Why are you acting like I'm not right here? This Josiah and I worked this traffic job recently. He stopped on a car with its hazards on. It was stopped on the left shoulder of the interstate. It was cold, rainy, and dark, and the person couldn't get, they're trapped there. And he pulls up behind his car, goes up to see if he could help. The driver was this teenage girl who had run out of gas. And she seemed kind of rattled, and so he asked her, how long have you been sitting here? And she just got the words out. Too long before her voice cracked and burst into tears. She said she didn't know what to do. She was trapped there. She didn't know if anybody was ever going to stop and help her. It was cold. Cars are whizzing by at 75 miles an hour. She's trapped. No way to get off the highway. She was scared to death. And Josiah could tell she was shaken up. And so he told her, I won't leave you until you're in a safe spot. And that was all the comfort she needed to calm down. Now, you think about that. She doesn't know Josiah from Adam, right? For all she knows, he's the most dangerous criminal in the city of Denver, right? She just has no idea. Or he's so inept at his job that he's no ability to protect her. He's going to put her even in more danger than she already was. She doesn't know anything. But still, this assurance, this perfect stranger that came out of nowhere, wouldn't leave her stranded alone on the highway. That was all she needed to calm down and have peace in her heart. And if that's the case, just think of the peace that can flood our hearts when we realize that someone with infinite power and infinite wisdom, who loves us enough to die for us, comes along and taps on our window and says, don't worry, I won't leave you alone. So when you're stressed out about something in life, don't pretend you're alone. Don't pretend to be an orphan. Remember in Matthew 6 when Jesus taught us to look at the birds? When you're stressed out, when you're worried, just look at the birds. Because your Father in heaven takes care of them, every single one of them, every single day. Are you not worth much more to God than they are? Somebody wrote this. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father, such as cares for you and me. Thank you, dear Father, for always being there, always being with us. Any moment of any day, fellowship with you can be enjoyed. Not always to the same degree, but always enough to bring great comfort and great joy. When my money is gone, you are there. When sleep escapes me, you are there with me, giving rest to my weary soul, even if I don't get it from my body, if I'll just get up out of bed and seek hard after you. When family's not around or doesn't live up to expectations, you're faithful. When I lose my job, you never stop providing. When the vacation is over, you're not over. If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even then, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Thank you so much, Lord. We pray this with gratitude for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The only godliness training exercise I have for you today is to simply ask yourself, are there any areas of your life where you are pretending to be an orphan? You're thinking or feeling in ways that don't match the reality of
a person who has a loving Heavenly Father who's all-powerful? Are there any areas of your life where you're pretending to go it alone? Micah 4:9 says, "Why do you now cry aloud? Have you no king? Has your counselor perished that pain seizes you like that of a woman in labor?" Talk to God about His continual presence with you and how that should be affecting your emotions with regard to the anxieties in your life right now.
Thank you for listening. We pray these principles from the Word of God are helping you find the peace of God as you draw nearer to the God of peace. Maybe there's someone in your network who would enjoy these podcasts. You never know how posting a link on Facebook might change someone's day or their whole life. Please remember to pray for this ministry, and remember that we're a crowd-funded ministry, so every gift helps. Just go to treasuringgod.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.